It is indeed a privilege to have Brother Rudy and Sister Wilma Toews and their son, their adopted son in Bolivia, from Bolivia in our midst today. They will be giving a report, a missions report, on June 4th. Today is the 14th, so I mix it up with 14th, but it's the 4th of June. The first Sunday of June, they will give a report of their missions activities in Bolivia. And we welcome you here today. We're so glad you came, and God bless you in our midst and during the time that you're in Canada, and give you good health and strength and joy. Today I want to, as I was meditating on and praying about Mother's Day, I thought, should I preach the word, or should I do a meditation type of homily or something like that? And so I found some material, and I thought something different would be in place that I would present this morning. And my subject is when Mother's Day is hard. For many people, it means flowers and even handmade cards and hugs and laughter and celebrations and gratitude and rejoicing. But others are crying on Mother's Day, and we don't want to forget them either. For many mothers and adult children out there, this is a day that they don't enjoy, or they feel heavy, where instead of being joyful, they are in a state of grief. It seems like this day brings to them a sting of grief for the empty chair at the table, or suffocating regrets of relationships that broke apart and are terribly severed. It might be a day of looking around at other mothers, where you look up at others and say, they have it so much better. They're such a golden family. They say $1 million family is a family, according to the world, of two sons and two daughters. Who makes that up? It's the world. It's something that the world wants us to compare ourselves to, and some people are struggling. I found a so-called love letter to mothers from a mother that I would like to read, especially for those that experience Mother's Day as a bittersweet type of celebration. Yes, I'm very, very happy in one way, but very sad on another way. Do you feel that way this morning? Very happy here and sad on the other hand? Let's read this. May you relive or relieve yourself of the burden of pretending everything is fine, or faking stability, or concealing the damage. May you feel not a trace of guilt for any twinge of pain or anger that seizes you today. Because it is your right to feel. Above all, though, may you find in your very sadness the proof that your heart, though badly broken, still works. See your grief as the terrible tax on loving people well, and see your unquenched longing for something better as a reminder of the goodness within you that desires a soft place to land. If on this Mother's Day you are hurting, know that you are not alone. May these words be the flowers that you wait for, or the call that won't come, or the conversation that you can't have, or the reunion that has not yet arrived. In your profound anguish, know that you are seen and heard, and that you are more loved than you realize. Be greatly encouraged today. From one mother to all others. Motherhood can be difficult. And taking solace in Scripture is also looking at the Scriptures where motherhood is considered a challenge or very difficult. Mother's Day is hard for many women. Many long for marriage. Many long for children. Many are infertile or have lost new lives to miscarriage or stillbirth. Some hardly speak of their estranged mother, and many have mothers who have died. Others struggle with how their marital problems challenge their parenting. So holidays are frequently hard for bereaved people. And Mother's Day is often a hyped-up day where it leaves women that are not mothers feeling empty and forsaken and forgotten, as if they don't matter. And that's not true. See, Mother's Day is actually patched during the Easter season. It's between Easter and the ascension of Jesus going to heaven. Remember, the risen Lord walked on earth for 40 days before he was ascending to heaven. So it's kind of an in-between thing, in between Easter and glory. Someone says the greatest privilege and trust God ever gave a woman was motherhood. Mother's love is the greatest love outside the love of God. So motherhood is a good thing. Of course it is. And the holiday was created to honor mothers and their frequently unrecognized work. And that's what we do today. We recognize, we acknowledge, we praise and honor our mothers who have done such a wonderful job and do a wonderful job in raising children. But Christians, as believers, we understand motherhood considering both the Scriptures and the real lives of women in our congregations. And oftentimes, it's not the picture that society or that we paint of motherhood that makes it so glorious. Because the Bible talks about broken mothers. And if we look at mothers like Hannah, the mother of Samuel, I mentioned it in the German service already. She was between a rock and a hard place. She was basically in competition. Her husband had two wives. The other woman was better. She was fruitful. She had children, and she didn't. Can you even imagine what this mother went through? The heartbreak, the desperation. And the Bible is very open about broken mothers. We read about Ruth. Ruth was widowed very young. And she didn't have any real prospects She's stuck with her mother-in-law. And she says, your God is my God, and where you go, I will go, and your country is my country. And she chose to stick it out with her mother-in-law, never knowing if she would ever get married, never knowing what would come of it, of this decision. There were a lot of times of struggle. You think of Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. Man, it was difficult. It was a trying time. And Sarah was old already. She made it to over 80. And here, Abraham is talking to God about a child. And Sarah just has to start laughing, says, this is impossible. And I love it that the Bible is so real and talks about these mothers' struggles in a real way. And Sarah was desperate, and she made this terrible decision to give Abraham, this young Egyptian maid, to have children with her, because she thought, this is the only way I can even hope to have children is through my maid. Sarah struggled with her faith. Because here was faith on one hand, faith in God who can do all things, with whom all things are possible. But on the other hand, she stared reality in the face and says, reality tells me and life tells me that I can no longer ever have a child. And this struggle between faith in God and reality that hits us sometimes right between the eyes and says, no, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and look at reality. This is impossible. You can't do this. But with God, all things are possible. Our society today paints a fairy tale of a view of motherhood. And our culture demands that motherhood needs to be deferred as long as possible. And society, our culture tells us, wait until you're all ready, until everything is just perfectly lined up, and then have children. It doesn't work always that way. Because some mothers have waited too long and had extreme difficulties conceiving or even having children. And that's the reality they face when they look to God, to for whom all things are possible, and reality, how life handles us. When we look at Jesus, when he talks about the discipleship, life as followers of Jesus, he doesn't make any guarantees, or should I say, happy guarantees for anyone. He doesn't promise us that everything will just go as according to your plan. All he promises us is, I will be with you whatever you're going through in all things. And I think we can really say that there is no one-size-fit-all journey of womanhood or following Christ. It's all individual. It's all custom-made for each one of us. Our journey is very personal. It's very individual with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, I want you to listen carefully here. Jesus says some very important words to the disciples. This is after he had washed their feet. It says in verse 31, John 13, 31, at the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. This is really curious because this is right shortly before he was going to suffer and die on the cross, and he said, the Son of God is glorified. Let's keep that in mind as we go on. Little children. Now he calls his disciples grown men. He calls them little children. So men, Jesus says to us, little children. I am with you only a little longer. This is in their childish faith or childlike faith. This was going to really be a problem for the disciples. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. In other words, you want to be with me, you want to stay on my side, but I am going away now where you cannot come with me. I will have to leave you behind because I have to go the way before you. I have to make a way before you. And then he gives them one commandment. And this is the most important commandment. In the face of departing from his disciples, Jesus tells his disciples and says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus didn't promise his disciples that they would be happy. And as it relates to motherhood, he doesn't promise mothers that they would have good relationships with their parents, with their children at all times. Jesus doesn't make those promises. In fact, Jesus knew that the disciples would experience sadness. They would experience this unending longing to be present with him. And they would experience their ups and downs in their relationship with Jesus as well. So Jesus had reality in mind when he spoke these words, but he assures us that if we keep believing, if we keep following, he will be with us, even in the most disappointed times in life. When you're longing to be a mother, or your attempt to become a mother, and your need for motherhood is nothing but disappointment. Now Jesus says, keep loving. Keep loving God. Keep loving your husband. Keep loving your family. So motherhood must not be the resting place for women's tender hopes for wholeness, for completeness, but we need to seek that wholeness in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that will get us through. In conclusion, let's be gentle with each other this Mother's Day. Let's celebrate with the women who have happy families. Let's remember women, men, girls, and boys who are hurt by their mothers. Let's remember the mothers who have lost their children. Let's remember the women who long to be wives and mothers but aren't, and appreciate them as well. So Mother's Day might be hard for us, no matter what. But we do our best as God's people to have a wonderful, good day. Instead of comparing ourselves with the pictures of the greeting cards or other mothers that we think are ideals, we look up to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me." And with Jesus, I will be just fine. Because he gives the spirit of comfort. He gives the spirit of encouragement and strength. And he lifts us out of the depression, out of the heaviness. And we can look beyond all the things that we had hoped for, all the disappointments, all the broken dreams. We can look beyond them and say, "Jesus, thank you. For you alone satisfies my soul." And it's only him and his peace that is above all human understanding that can give us that wholeness, that completeness that we so desire. God bless you, mothers. And thank you for all the hard work you do. God bless all those that would be mothers. I greeted some of the young ladies here. I said, "Happy Mother's Day to you." Because in the future, who knows how many children you will have? I said 6 to 8, but they said, "Well, that's a little much." But whether it's 0 or 8, it doesn't matter. The Lord satisfies the soul, and he comforts, and he strengthens. And I hope you are encouraged today. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.